Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is David Lee from Prevent Connect, and today I am speaking with Christine Gilfillan, who is with Berks Women in Crisis over in Reading, Pennsylvania. How are you doing today, Christine?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
I'm really glad that we're going to get a chance to speak about Berks Women in Crisis's prevention education program, PeaceWorks. And PeaceWorks is one of the programs that was featured in the recent report from the National Sexual Violence Resource Center about innovative programs. So I'd love to learn about what Camp PeaceWorks is.
Camp PeaceWorks is initially a five-day summer day camp where we engage youth in a setting outside the schools, because typically most of our youth engagement happens within the schools. We bring them together to talk about social justice issues, or isms, as the roots of violence, basically. So we're seeking to go back to the roots of violence, of the issues that we're dealing with at Berks Women in Crisis, which, of course, are primarily violence against women and girls, and engage them on a level of preventing violence before it occurs.
Young people, how are they identified who will be going to this camp?
They self-identify. We have 18 school districts in Berks County, and we do outreach within the school districts and also faith-based organizations, just any place where young people gather, schools and outside schools. And we ask them to self-select and fill out a brief application explaining why they'd like to come to camp, because we're really looking for young people who are interested in these issues, perhaps are already engaged in some way in these issues or in other leadership roles in their schools. But it's not limited to that. But we do seek young people who are already interested.
Let's talk a little bit about what young people will experience during that week. What do you do during this camp? You talked about it really is about ending oppression and learning about the isms and how to be able to overcome them. But talk a little bit more about what type of activities young people will be doing.
We base the camp on a curriculum by Paul Kivel called Making the Peace. Each day, there's a focus on a particular ism. And we start on Monday with adultism. Tuesday is racism, Wednesday is sexism, Thursday is heterosexism, and Friday we talk about class issues and also ally work. The ally work conversation is also woven throughout the week. But each day we focus on a particular ism, all the while, though, making connections between them and amongst them as we go along. It builds, and we start with adultism because that's a topic that most young people will connect to, and it's also something that all of us have experienced, so it's something we all have in common.
Now, you talked about how in this program that they'll go through this for a week, and the reason you're doing this is that you're sort of going to the root causes of violence. Why do you see this as an important work for the primary prevention of sexual violence?
I think that fundamentally we believe that the way that we view one another across our differences, whether that's gender or race or ethnicity or our age differences, the way we view one another and how we treat one another across those differences, and how we value one another is the critical thing that it's all about. And preventing violence means helping people understand that every human being is worthwhile and every human being deserves respect and love and acceptance. And those are the basic underlying premises at Camp PeaceWorks. So first we have to understand how oppression happens. How has it systematically happened institutionally, interpersonally? How is it manifested? How does it happen? On what false ideas is it built and is it sustained? And how do we start to break that down, so that we can view each other as all worthy of respect and acceptance and love?
Camp PeaceWorks, of course, is a week of young people being at this camp, but indeed activities go well beyond that. Can you describe what the follow-up is?
The structure is, at a minimum, monthly meeting. I believe now it's the fourth Tuesday of every month. We get together. We talk about what initiatives and programs are going on, whether it's in schools or community organizations or on the community level, and how can we as a group, or how can at least a subgroup of us, get involved in various things that are happening. And then we brainstorm things that we'd like to see happen as well. But part of it is about plugging into what's already going on out there. There's already a lot. So it's about identifying those things. You know, whether it's joining the gay-straight alliances in their schools, starting the gay-straight alliance in their school, you know, whatever that happens to look like for both individual campers and also for the group, what do we want to put our energy behind?
So what you're really doing is developing leadership, youth leadership, so youth can then start being able to connect into the various efforts within their community so they can be able to make change.
Yes, yes, that's what we're doing. And I will say that the follow-up activities are, you know, the development of that is ongoing. It depends on the resources that we have, how much of our energy we're able to direct to that. But I will say that after 5 years of doing camp and going through a department overhaul where we're looking at our priorities, we've decided that this program is definitely one of our top priorities. You're going to see more follow-up activities rolling out from this project as we go forward.
How do you know that this is working? What's the difference? Can you describe some of how you are trying to figure out why this is something that's making a difference?
We do use pre and post surveys. We do use focus group interviews as we go along, sort of measuring change in level of awareness and attitude. But the real way for us to measure is to follow campers beyond the first year, beyond 6 months out, beyond the first year. And what we have managed to do is stay in touch with several campers from year one, many also from year two. And right now we're in the process of working with an evaluation consultant. We've been fortunate enough to be able to not only work that into our budget, but also find a consultant who is dedicated to working with us sort of at a reduced rate of what the professional fees would normally be, because I know that's a big stumbling block for people. So we're looking at other ways that we can evaluate the program. But staying in touch with former campers, talking about how it's affected their lives, and also the adults who transition in and out of the program, because we have a facilitation team of about 15 adults, and they transition in and out of the program over the years. And we talk to them also about how it's affected them and affected what they've gone on to do in other arenas and so forth. So that's a work in progress, the evaluation piece.
I really look forward to learning more as you learn from that evaluation, because what you're doing is taking a curriculum that's available to anyone, Making the Peace by Paul Kivel, and of course there's a lot of other related books by Paul Kivel and his colleagues, and then you can see if what the successes are and the lessons learned. And sounds like one of the keys that you do is you're thinking long term, and that perhaps it's about generating and developing the leadership that people can be able to move forward, seeing young people not just as the problem or the audience, but seeing young people as how do we support them being part of the solution.
We're not thinking of them necessarily as future leaders, even though they are, but they're leaders right now. They're out there right now, engaged in the community and engaged with one another. So the idea that someday they're going to have an influence or someday they're going to be doing good work isn't really accurate. Really, they're doing it now. I mean, we see amazing things that they do.
Any lessons that you would want to share with other prevention educators from the lessons that you've learned over the last 5 years of doing this program?
We went in with our set curriculum that we had developed, with Paul Kibble's help, by the way, and technical assistance. And we had to change and adapt that as time went by. For example, in years one and two, we didn't have a heterosexism day. It was part of sexism day. And then we discovered that it really had to be an entire day of the experience, because this is one of the issues that affects them most. So you have to be flexible. You have to be willing to change up what you're doing on the spot. And you have to attract people to the program, both young people and adults, who have the capability to do that and who are really passionate about the work that they're doing, because it's tough. It requires a lot of energy and a lot of willing to roll with things and change things as they go along while still sticking to the basic principles that we started with.
I think that's an important lesson for all of us to remember, is that we need to be able to meet the needs of the community that we're serving while maintaining the principles that we base our work on. Well, thank you very much, and I look forward to learning more as this program develops.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.